Begin the current daf, Mesechtas Menachos daf Samech Tes. Begin on the second line down of the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues with the next question in the series of questions of Rama Bachama, which is related to the first question, which was related to the halacha of our Mishnah, which was regarding the halachas of the Shtei Halechem. We wanted to know, could it permit out of order? Now, Rama Bachama asks another question regarding the Shtei Halechem. So as we explained in the previous daf, the Shtei Halechem, unlike the Omer only permits the new grain for the human consumption. The Shtei Halechem permits not just the new grains for the Menachos and the Beis HaMikdash, but also for Peiros HaIlon, even for fruits that grow on the tree, which is, like we said, the Yayin Nesachim, that wine has to be from the new produce that's only permitted after the Shtei Halechem is brought. So the question is, regarding the Shtei Halechem, HaNotzah, is it the things that blossomed beforehand? That's what Sharia, that's what the Shtei Halechem is permitting. As we explained in the previous daf, for the Omer of the Shtei Halechem to permit, it has to be something that already took root before the Omer is brought for the Omer to permit it for human consumption and for the Shtei Halechem. It has to have already become something significant that then has to require that next stage, that Omer Shtei Halechem to permit it. If it's not, then you would have to wait for the following year. So on that is what Rama Bachama is asking regarding the Shtei Halechem. Is it Hanotzah Sharia? Is it if this grapes, for example, that it already blossomed, and that's what the Shtei Halechem would permit? A chanata sharia, or is it only a later stage of chanata, which is when the produce is starting to ripen to some extent, which is more than the stage of hanatsa? It's only that, then it already is considered significant to be extant to say that, oh, the Shtei Halechem is permitting that now to be used as for the nesachim, for the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Gemara asks on this question, my hanatsa, my chanata. What does he mean that when you're talking about Hanotzah or Chanotah happening, Ilema, if you're going to say, as we had been explaining, Hanotzah the Peri, Chanotah the Peri, he means the produce itself, let's say the grape. If it had this period of Netz or of Chanotah, that's what it has to be significant enough to say that, okay, it's around and the Shtei Halechem is permitting it. But on that, as the Gemara, Hashta, but if you find regarding grain, which we're saying that the Omer permits it for human consumption, the Shtei Halechem permits it for the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach. There, Hashrash Hashari, we say actually just if the grain took root before the Omer, even if it didn't grow anything, nothing came out yet, as we learned in the Mishnah, that Hashrash Hashari, that the taking root itself is going to be permitted now when the Omer is brought, or when the Shtei Halechem is brought for being brought in the Beis HaMikdash. So then, Hanotzah v'chanotah, so regarding a fruit, where if it had Hanotzah, Chanotah, Mibayi, would you even entertain to say that you would need any stages? What do you mean it's much early? If it, just when it took root, it's already considered extant to be permitted. What are you asking if it's Hanotzah or Chanotah? Sally rather says the Gemara, his question was Hanotzah da'ala v'chanotah da'ala. No, nothing about the fruit coming out. Much earlier. We're talking about if the leaf of that plant blossomed or did it have Chanotah. That's our question. And what's the question? Mihava is the hanotza of the leaf of the fruit tree. Kiashrasha, is that the equivalent of the grain taking root? I lie, or not? That was the question. But regarding the fruit itself, of course, nothing of it had to have coming out. Like we found my grain, just that if it took root, it's already enough to be considered here that would be permitted by the Omer and the Shtei Halechem. That's take it, let it stand. That we don't have an answer for Rama Bachama's question. Similar question, by Rava Bar Rav Chanan. He says, Chitin Shezron Bekarka. Regarding wheat that was planted in the ground, Oyma Matirin, Oy Ein Oyma Matirin, does the Oymer, the barley offering brought on the 16th of Nisan, permit that grain now as new grain to be eaten, or does it not? So the Gemara asked, Hey Chedami, what's the case talking about? And that is, Ida Ashrish, if that grain that was planted took root, so Tanina, we learned this as we're going to quote in the Mishnah. Ida Loy Ashrish, if it didn't take root, that's also Tanina, we learned that in the Mishnah. It's not like we learned the Mishnah on the next daf of 9 Amad Aleph. It says, Imish Rishu Kain Loimer, if the new grain took root before the Omer, before the 6th of Nisan, Omer Matirin. So then the Omer permits it. Ve'im Lav, if it didn't take root, Asurin Achayavi Omer Abba. So it's forbidden until you bring the next year's Omer. So what's the question? What are you asking? It depends if it took root or not. So the Gemara Loi No, Tzricham, the question was necessary in the following case. The Chatzdinu, the person had harvested, Vizarinu Kaidim Loimer, and he planted this wheat before the Omer. Moreover, last year's Omer didn't permit it, because it hadn't yet taken root by then. And moreover, this year, for this Omer, it didn't take root yet either. Now, va'asar oimer v'chalaf alayu, so it's in the ground now. And the oimer is done while it's in the ground. But coming by, and this question is, ma'ulin kutei, could the person now take, gather up, before this barley, before this wheat takes root, could the person take it out of the ground, u'mechel menayu, and eat from it? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Kamanda shadi b'kada damya, do we look at that grain, which was from last year's grain, it didn't take root before last year's oimer. But now, it's like in a jug, because it didn't take root yet. V'sharinya oimer, therefore this year's oimer actually permits it. Because this that you said from the Mishnah on the next daf, oh, that if it didn't take root, it's going to be forbidden until the next year's oimer, that's only regarding the new growths. The new growths are going to have to wait until the following year. But here, this is the seed from the last year. If it didn't take root yet, so this year's oimer will permit it because it didn't take root yet. It's like just like as if it was in a jug. It just happens to be the ground. And this is the main part of the question. Or maybe do we say that it has already become nullified and become part of the ground? So therefore, when you're going to take it out, it's as if you're taking out something that is a growth from the ground, even though it didn't even take root yet. And therefore, actually, it would be problematic because you're going to have like the new gedulin, like the new growth, since it didn't take root before the Eimer, you actually have to wait till the next year's Eimer. So too, based on this question, the Gemara tells in Bam Mitzit of Nanvov Meralov in the Perek Hazav that there's no Eino in Karkois. Although there's halacha that one cannot overcharge by a sixth, and if there is a certain halacha that has to be returned based on Eino, about cheating someone. However, by land, it doesn't apply by real estate. Now, so therefore, based on this question, Yeshlan Oino, do we say that this grain that was planted, if one would be selling it, is there Oino? Oino? Does it not have Oino? Do we consider it like it's its own entity, just happens to be deposited there, and therefore it would be Oino, or maybe not? So the Gemara asks first, Hey Chadami, what would the case be talking about? If you would think that the guy was telling him, as seemingly this would seem the case, Shadoi Bashita, he says, look, I planted in your ground 6 kur of wheat. And that he had been hired and he was being paid for this wheat being put in. And that the question is he liable for enough for cheating the guy or not? Vasa Sahadi Vamri, witnesses came along and said, he didn't put in 6, he only put in 5. Now, based on the primary halacha of Eino, now there would be a measurement of Eino, which is a 6, as the Gemara says over there in Hazav and Abim Tesma base. On that is the Gemara, how could that be talking about the case? But Vama Rava said, anything that's measured, that's weighted, or that's counted, since we see that they're very particular, that they're doing so exacting, we see that the person's not forgiving, even less than the measurement of Eino of a 6th, which you're not going to have the halacha of that, oh, so it's going to have the law of Eino, which is that the purchase will be maintained, you just have to give back what was overcharged. No, actually, in this situation, when the person is exacting counting, like in this situation described where he was supposed to do 6 and they said he did 6 and they really only did 5 kur, actually the whole sale is void and chayzer, it goes back. So what would be the case even in the first situation to even ask about it if you wouldn't have Eino in the case that you're describing? It would be totally void just because it was b'minyan, it was with numbers. So Elo, no, rather the amalei shadoi b'kedebayla. Rather, the case we'd be talking about was with a guy who was hired, who was being paid to plant the seeds. He says, look, I put in what was necessary. So they weren't using numbers. V'asa sahadi v'amri, then the witnesses came along and said, d'lei shadoi b'kedebayla. No, he didn't put in what was necessary. So that's not davar shebeminyan now. That would go based on the primary halachas of shtus, of a 6th. That's the question. Yesh le'naino? Does the law of Eino apply over here? Why? The command of shadi b'kadadami, it's just like it's in a jug. It's not karkois, it's metatlin, it's seeds. So then the law of a 6th would apply, and if he had overcharged him by a 6th, then it actually would be void. And the girsa would take out, as the shita does, v'yesh le'naino, because that's repetitive, but basically there would be Eino. Maybe like we said, maybe it becomes part of the ground. Part of the ground, so now it's already like the laws of a karkais. Karkais, there's no Eino, and maybe the sale would not be void. So to another principle that applies to this question is nishbon alein. Do we say the person has to swear based on this? Or does he not have to swear? As the Gemara says within Azov, we don't swear on land. So let's say the laws of Moedim Mixus, he says, hey, you promised me six. He says, I didn't promise you, but I promised 5.5. And he's admitting partial. So generally, it's Allah of Moedim Mixus, but by Karkois, there is no Shuv of Moedim Mixus. So the question here is, too, Kedishadi Bekadi Dami, do we say we view it as just if sitting there in the jug? Or Kematatli Dami, so therefore we view it as movable items. Minish Badalin, therefore he has to swear. Do we say that? No, it's already been nullified, already become part of the ground, and if it doesn't swear on it, and he would be exempt. So Zimur Teker, the question has been unresolved. Basically, all these parameters are still not clear, because do we view it as if it's distinct, or do we say, no, it already became part of the ground? Now, by Ram Bachama, the next question of Ram Bachama, he says, Chitin Shebegloli Bakr, and they all have a similar theme about regarding do we view it as a changed or not. So if someone finds wheat in the cattle dung, now the reason why we're saying wheat by cattle is it's normal for the cattle to eat wheat. Or usa'urin shebegloli be'emor, he finds barley in the waste matter of animals, because other animals like donkeys and camels, they usually eat barley. So the question is, ma, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, lamai, what's his question regarding? If his question is, do we view this as an edible food item which would transmit and be susceptible to the laws of Tumas Eichon, that it has the laws of Tumah to it, and that says the Gemara Tanina, well, that's a Tanoic statement which you learned in the Braisa. It says Chitin, the Gemara says Shebegloli, which means the same idea, or Sheberei Bakr, where if someone finds wheat in the dung of cattle, or Usa'urin Shebegloli Behemo, or he finds barley in the waste matter of an animal, so Chishabalein. If, while it was still in the feces, the person thought about this wheat or barley, l'achila, that he wants to eat it, so ima tama tumas eichon, that's not going to still give it to tumas eichon, still not considered food, edible matter, to be mekabel tuma. But l'ikten l'achila, if he already plucked it out for the utility of using it for eating, metama tumas eichon, that action goes and makes it now already vulnerable for tumas eichon. So you see that the price says clearly, your question, you want to know, does the wheat or barley defined in the dung considered wheat or not, if that's your question regarding Mekabel Tumah, so that depends. If you just thought no, if you took it out, then yes. So rather you would say Lemanachis. No, the question would be, can you use this wheat or barley that you found in the feces, can you use it for flour offerings in the base of Mekdash? That says the Gemara Pshita D'Lai. Obviously that you would not be able to, like the Pasuk says in Malachi. Hakriveinu l'fachasechem. When they're talking about the animals that are lame and subpar, would you bring this as a present to your governor? Would he be willing? Would he encounter your face? How could you bring something like that to the base of English? Obviously not. Says Gemara Loi, Tzricha, no, it's necessary in the case, the Naktinu Vizarino. The person took these wheat or barley that he found in the waste matter, and he went and he planted it. Now he wants to bring flour offerings to the base of English from the growths that came out of the seed. My, what's the halacha? And that is, mishum dimisusuhu, what do we say that we say it's not valid to use it as a mincha when you find it in the feces, in the waste matter? Because it's disgusting, it's repulsive. Now, but v'kivin da zirina, but once you plant it, azdil misusayu, so its disgust has been removed, because if anyone understands the basic science of how planting goes, it gets totally decomposed and a new entity comes out. So it's something totally different. So that's not disgusting. If one would eat the seed in the ground, that's also disgusting. But something totally different comes out, and maybe it would be permitted to use that as a mincha. Maybe the problem, as we said, that if you find that in the waste matter you can use it as a mincha, is because since it went through the digestive system of the intestines of the animal, the wheat or barley gets weakened. And that is, even if you would plant the wheat, it wouldn't come out robust and such a high quality. So here also, once it went through the waste system, meaning when you find it, or even if you replant it, it already lost its vitality, and therefore would not be valid even if you replant it. Take with that, let it stand. That's not clear what the answer would be in the question of Ram Bachama. His last question of the four, Bayi Ram Bachama, says, Pil Shabala Kafifa Mitris. If an elephant swallowed a wicker basket, Ve'kiyo Derech Beisarei, and now he relieved it, through his waist, through his anal, through his waist canal. Ma, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Lamai, what's the question? If you're thinking that it's, does that nullify the tumma of the wicker basket? So for example, let's say that we had a situation where the wicker basket had been tummy beforehand. And we want to know, now that it went through his waist system, does that nullify its tumma? And that says the Gemara Tanina, well, that's the Mishnah and Kalim that answers that question. The Mishnah says, "All vessels could contract tumah just with the thought. For example, if let's say the owner thinks that he wants to use it for something that doesn't lack any activity. For example, let's say he has a prepared piece of leather. Now, generally, it would be used for shoes. And therefore, it wouldn't be mekabel tumah until you actually go ahead and make shoes out of it. But let's say he thinks, you know what, I want to use this as a table or a tablecloth, which is not lacking any activity to it. Because right now, he could use it as a table. So right when he thinks he wants to use it, it's already prepared. So it's already going to be mekabel tumah. But ve'ein oyle metumasin, but if let's say it was tameh, it's not going to be removed from its tumah, ele b'shina maisa. Only if you actually do an active activity to it that changes it. For example, if you break the vessel, that's going to purify it. Now that's saying the Gemara over here, there's no change of activity to it because the animal relieves it as a whole wicker basket. So obviously it's not going to be tar. So what's the question that he has regarding the elephant that swallowed the wicker basket? Says Gemara Lo Tzricha, no, the case is actually talking about Debala Hutzen. He swallowed the fibers, Vavdinu Kefeva Mitzvahs, and afterwards a wicker basket was made out of it. So what's the question? Mihava equal, do we say that the fibers that went through his waste system of the animal is considered as if it digested it? And then if it's considered that it digested it, so Havalei, so it would be considered as a Ketintamad Beis, Kekli Glalam, like vessels that are made from animal dung. Because essentially, dung is obviously a composite of all the different minerals and elements that a person or an animal eats. And therefore, although the wicker is here, but it's considered from his digestive process with Kekli Glalam, or like it's similar to the halacha of Kekli Adama, like earthenware vessels, which both of those are Ve'ein Mekabel Tumah, they do not contract Tumah. Dama Malik, the master, said Kekli Avanim, stone vessels, Ukli Glalam, and dung vessels, Ukli Adama, or earthenware vessels, Ve'ein Mekabel Tumah, they do not contract Tumah. Lema Dibetari, not on the biblical level, but Lema Dibetari, not on the rabbinical level, and therefore, this wicker basket would be immune to Tumah. Maybe we say, no, it's not considered digested, because look, the fibers came right out, and it's like the fiber itself, and therefore it would be like a regular wooden vessel, which would be mekabel tumah. So says the Gemara, tifshali mahadama ula mishum rishimim bayar tzadik. Let's resolve it from this that Ula said, the name of rishimim bayar tzadik. Where umayso balu zeib, there was an incident where wolves had swallowed shnei tinaikis, two children, beiva hayarden, in the Transjordan, and they had then relieved them through their waste canal. Then children came out through the wolves. The story came in front of the sages. And they purified the meat, where although a dead person contracts, is conveys tuma. But here, they didn't look at it as flesh of an animal anymore. They looked at it as waste matter of an animal, which does not convey tuma. So obviously we see that it is considered digested just by the virtue that it went through the system of the animal. So the Gemara, no, shani basa, the rachach. Flesh is different because it's soft. So that we could say that it's considered that it went through the digestive process of the animal, in contrast to the fibers of a wicker basket, just those fibers, it's not really considered as if digested. It's like a penny going in, coming out, it's the same thing. Maybe that's not going to be considered equal, and maybe it would still be mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, actually, lifshim seifa, actually resolve it from the end of that statement. The sages purified the flesh, but v'timah satsamis. The bones, they said, were still considered the bones of human remains, and therefore they said it will convey tumah. So that should answer your question regarding the wicker. It's the same thing that it should be mitame. And that says, no, bones are different because it's very hard. So that we say, okay, it's like metallic. It just like went right through it. Nothing happened from the digestive system. In contrast to the fibers of the wicker, maybe that is considered that the digestive process did something and it would be considered the waste matter and like clay kalama not be makabal tumah, and therefore there's no proof from that story, neither tahara or tumah. The Gemara contains the next question. Boyer b'zeira. S'chitin sheyer deba'avim. Wheat that fell from the clouds with the rain. As Rashi explains, for example, when the clouds drink from the oceans, from the Atlantic, where then it swallowed up a ship full of wheat and it got caught into the clouds, and then it dropped it over an area, ma, what's the halacha? So the Gemara said, Lamai, what's the question? Ela menachas, if you want to know, can you use that wheat for the flour offerings in the Beis HaMikdash? Amai loy, why not? What's the problem? Because it came from the clouds. Elishti halechem. Now the question is regarding, can we use it for the two breads that were brought on Shavuos? My, what's the question? So the Gemara explains. The Torah says that you have to bring the Shtei Alechem from your dwelling places. Now, that's lafuki the chutzlar, it's the law. That's excluding that one is not allowed to bring the Shtei Alechem from grain that was grown out of Eretz Yisrael. But if it came from the clouds, well, that's permitted. Because it's just excluding chutzlar. But it doesn't have to be from Eretz Yisrael, it can be from the clouds. Like in this situation where it came from the boats. No, or maybe, no, when it says in Torah, it has to come from your dwelling places. I mean, specifically, that it's excluding anything that's not Eretz Yisrael, and that even from the clouds, it's also not going to be good. It's not just excluding Chutz La'aretz. It's even if it's not Chutz La'aretz, as long as it's not Eretz Yisrael, like here where they came from the clouds, it's not going to be valid. Now, but the Gemara asks, is there even such a situation like you're describing that we have to ask the question if it to be valid or not? Says the Gemara, and yes. Kida'adi tayo, or like some Gersoys have, like Bar'adi, Taya, the Arab merchant, that nechisale roim kizvachiti, that it landed on his land a height of a kizbi of wheat, but tlas parsi on a that his land was a length of three parsais. Now a height of kizbi, a kizbi is a tefach with like the thumb sticking up. Generally, tefach is just with the thumb down, the closed fist. A kizbi is with the thumb sticking up. He had that height of wheat along a length of three parsa, which is very, very long, coming from the skies. So that's the question we want to know. Could one be able to use that wheat for the shtei lechem or not? Now, continuing on the theme of our perek of the Karban Na'imer, Bayir B'Shim Meb Pazi, he asked the following question. Shibayles, a stalk, Sheviyah Shlish Kodim La'imer, that a third of the grain grew before the Aimer was brought. Now, the reason why we pick a third is because that's considered the maturity, the ripening of that grain, because if it would, as the case we didn't describe, if it was uprooted before it grew a third, that would be considered just like shachas, which is like animal fodder, and the Eimer wouldn't be permitting it. It's only if it had already been significant that then we would say, if it's detached, that the Eimer would permit it. So if the stalk had already, the grain had already grown a third of it before the Eimer, the okra, and then it was uprooted before the Eimer was brought, so it wasn't attached to the ground when the Eimer was brought, but then it was replanted after the Eimer was brought. And actually in that interim that it was planted, it actually grew a little bit more. Now, what's the halacha? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Do we say basa ikra azlina? Do we go based on the primary part of the stalk? And that, since it was detached at that time, and the Eimer permitted it, because any produce that had already grown beforehand, even if it's not attached, like we said, be hashrasha, but if it grew a third, so it's going to be permitted by the Eimer, and therefore, even if it grew a little bit after the Eimer, but that's not significant, we go based on the primary part of the plant, maybe go no, based on even the addition, and therefore, v'achi of Eimer abad, there was some stuff that grew because it was replanted after the Eimer, and that addition didn't have the Eimer permitted yet, maybe you have to wait to the next year's Eimer to permit it. Says the Gemara, Tifshalei Mahada Amar Bavam Rabbi Yechon. It says, let's resolve it from what Rabbi Yechon had said. Mirchan had said, Yalda, a young tree, a young sapling that's still in its early stage. And the tree in its first 3 years, the produce is forbidden. And this young tree has fruits on it. Now, Shesafacha Bezekena. Now, someone came along and he did what's called Harkava. He went and he grafted this young tree into an old tree, which now they're growing together. Now, this old tree is called old because it already passed its early stage. Uba Paris, like we said, and this young tree has fruits on it. Says Rabbi Yechanan, Afila Haisif, even if the fruits increase in thickness after it had been grafted onto the old tree, b'masayim 200 to one of the isra that it had in it, meaning it grew, the fruits were so small, now the dimensions grew 200 of permissible, because now it's permissible because it's really actually growing from the old tree. It wouldn't have the halachas of Arla applying to it. Still, says Rabbi Yechanan, Aser. The fruits on that tree of the young tree is going to be forbidden, even though generally you say with the laws of Arla that it's nullified in a ratio of 200 to 1, like the Gemara says in Pesachim, Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, from a pasuk se'echad min amasayim, mimaiser, from the excess of 200 that's there, that Arla is batal in the measurement of 200 to 1. That's Rabbi Yechanan saying that even so over here it's going to be forbidden because it's one entity. Yeah, this apple, this whatever is growing, that's was so small, and now it's more than 200 times the size, and that was growing in non-Arla property because it's growing from the old tree, still we go based on the primary. The primary fruit that initially grew was growing from the Arla tree before it was grafted, and therefore we view everything based on that. So that's exactly what we're saying over here, that we go Basa Ikra, and therefore in this case we're actually being permitted, because although it was replanted after the Eimer, that's just Taisevus, but we always go based on the initial, and the initial was already permitted with the Eimer. So to another proof, says, an onion that was planted in the vineyard. Now that's problematic because that's klaim bekerem. You're not allowed to plant anything else in the vineyard. Now, and then the vineyard was uprooted. Says Rabbi Yonasan, Nafila Haysev, even if it increased after the vineyard was uprooted, so whatever's growing now is growing permittedly because not in the vineyard anymore. So even though it increased, b'masayim, 200 portions more than it was when it was prohibited because it was planted in the vineyard, aser. The onions are still going to be forbidden because of klai, because of the forbidden mixture. So you see that even though there's more than 201 ratio, it's still going to be aser because we go basa ikka, we go based on what it initially was, and therefore that's the proof for the question that we had asked, that we go basa ikka, and therefore in the situation over here by the omer, it's going to be permitted. However, the Gemara says, no. That's exactly the question that we had. The question was, Mifshad Pshitilu L'Rabbanan was resolved and obvious to the rabbis, the Basta Ikrazlina would go based on the primacy, which is, Loishna L'Kula, it wouldn't make a difference if it's a leniency, like in the case we're asking regarding the stalk. If you go based on the primary part, it's a leniency, because now you don't have to wait for the new growth that happened after the Eimer for the next year's Eimer. And relation to the Chumra, there's no difference as a stringency like we're bringing over here by Arlen Klayim. Idemo, maybe no spooky mesafkal. The rabbis were in doubt. Well, the Chumra, I mean, only regards to the laws of the Klayim Bekerim, and regarding the Arla, that's where they said, oh, we're going to go based on the Iker. And therefore, as a stringency, we're going to say it's not going to be bottled in 200 to 1 because we're going to go based on the initial growth. But Lakula Lamrina, maybe we don't go as leniency. Says Gemara, take it, let it stand. That's right, that's a good point, and therefore we didn't resolve the question. Maybe this they were saying Basa Ikka was only a stringency, but maybe we wouldn't say it's leniency, or maybe we would, and maybe it was obvious for them that we go Basa Ikara, and therefore the initial growth in the Shibailis, which was that third that grew before the Eimer and was uprooted, is permitted by the Eimer, is not going to be forbidden with the new growth that grew afterwards, because it go based on Ikari, even as a leniency.